This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord, praying to the Father for us, John 17. I use it frequently in the confessional because John 17 should give us such a sense of comfort to know exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us as he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He asks that the Father sanctify us in truth, sanctify to make holy in truth. What is truth? The words of Pontius Pilate. Our Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Our Lord, the Word incarnate, is truth. The scriptures that he has given us, his Word, are truth. And we need to use them. The Holy Spirit uses them to sanctify us. We need to cooperate with that sanctification. He gives us sort of a chronology as to how this is applied to our lives as Catholics. They are not of the world, as I am also not of the world. He actually says this twice, verse 14, verse 16 of John chapter 17 in this prayer. Two times he says they are not of this world because he's not of this world. And he goes on to say the world hath hated them. That's us if we're doing things right. The world hates us because we are like Jesus, and they hated him first. This is a reality of our faith. The world is not going to like us. We are not supposed to make ourselves liked by the world. Contrary to what you hear constantly from a lot of circles within the church, they are going to hate you. Thus saith the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who presents this truth to us. We just have to understand it. Because why? What do they mean by why we're not of the world? Because when we embrace our Lord Jesus Christ through the sacrament of baptism, through our confirmations, every time we receive him, if we are properly disposed, body, blood, soul, and divinity, every single time we demonstrate or should be demonstrating and be strengthened for the fact that we are not like the world. We are supposed to be unlike the world. I cannot stress this enough. We are not supposed to make ourselves attractive to the world. We're not supposed to look like them, talk like them, act like them, dress like them. None of that stuff. They're not going to like us. Well, we need the world to like us. Says who? Says who? Not Jesus. We've got to get this in our heads. This is our Catholic life. We're not like the world. We're unlike it. We don't have the same morals that they, that's kind of weird to say it that way, that we don't have the same morals that they have. They are amoral. There's a difference between amoral and immoral. If we who know better do something wrong, that is immorality. We are immoral. We don't act with morals. The world is amoral. They don't have morals. They do what's right in their own mind. They do what's fashionable. They do what contemporary society likes or dislikes. They don't want to offend anyone. We read the gospel. The gospel is an offense. So we differ from them because we have morals, not ones we make up in our own mind. We have morals that are given to us. They are alien, so to speak, to us. We receive them from the Holy Spirit. He changes our heart. We're not like them. We are not like them in our affections. What are the affections of the world? They love one another. They love the planet. They love all these. And that's not to mean we're not supposed to love other people. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to love the planet. But it is a far distant second from loving our Lord Jesus Christ and implementing his truth in this world. So we do not share the affections of the world. We love Jesus first and foremost, and our neighbor as ourselves, because they bear his image. That's why you love your neighbor. Our affections are different than the world's, markedly different. Our life is different than theirs. When we embrace the Catholic life, our life is supposed to manifest a difference. We're supposed to be different from them. Again, why are you here so often? We need to change and we need to lighten up because we need the world to like it. We need to be like them so more people come in. That's a bold-faced lie. Has it worked in the past 60 years? Hey, let's stop doing all this Latin stuff and let's stop doing all this rigid worship stuff. We want to make it happy so people can come in. They haven't come in. Our people have left. Our people have left because we've shown that, hey, the world's no different than us, really. We need to look like them and act like them. Make it comfortable in here for them. Doesn't work because we are unlike the world because we're in union with Christ. We have left the world to worship and serve God. That's what we do. That is what we do. In everything that we do, it doesn't matter what your vocation may be in this world, every moment of every day, we should approach our lives to worship and serve God. A lot of people that worship, oh, that's on Sunday or when you go to church during the week, or you know, that's Mass. Every single day of our life should be lived as if it's an act of worship. 24/7. Again, this whole thing, sanctify them. Sanctification is a progress. As we live our Catholic life, we should understand more and more that every moment of our life should be looked upon and utilized as an act of worship and service to God. Every single moment. And here is where we're just equipped to do that. Sacramentally, with the liturgy of the word, those things equip us for the work of the ministry. Go out and do the mission of the church. This is sanctification, learning and progressing in this consecration, as our Lord says it. Sanctify them in truth. Make them holy in truth. Again, sanctification is a progress. It is a move toward perfection. Our Lord demands that of us. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He doesn't mean flawless. He means perfect as in it's an aspiration. It's a goal. But it is nonetheless a goal that is attainable, obviously, because Jesus is God, and he would never tell us to do something that was impossible for us, because that would be an imperfection, to bind someone to do something that they just cannot do. You know, do that. That's not righteous. We can do it if we choose so. Most just do not. We've got to work toward it. This progress, you'd even tell by the way this is worded. Sanctify them in the truth. He's talking about the apostles. He's praying for them in this particular section, but the apostles have just been made holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ has called them to be apostles. So that in of itself consecrates, sets aside for the service of God, the apostles. So they're all already holy in that respect. Even more so, they have just received, right before he prays this prayer, they have received his body, blood, soul, and divinity. In the Last Supper, in the institution of the Eucharist, they're holy already. So if you're holy already, what's this talk of sanctification? They're already sanctified. We are sanctified, and we are ever being more and more sanctified if we're doing this the right way. The first reading today from the book of Acts, St. Paul says the same thing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to leave, and he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build up and to give an inheritance among the sanctified." Notice it doesn't say who is able to build and then move on, to build up. Okay, when you build your house, you build it, it's done, there it is. It's a house. But if you build up, you do additions, you add to, you reno, you make it nicer, you make it better. That's us. St. Paul, he will build you up. Sanctify them in truth and keep them from evil. What does he talk about? Evil? Because some versions say evil, some versions say the evil one. Well, which is it? Both. Keep us from evil and keep us from the evil one. Guilt of sin. We're washed from sin by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no more guilt. So as we are washed by the blood of Christ in our baptism, and then we sin again and again and again, we go to the confessional, we are freed from the guilt of sin as long as we avail ourselves of the sacraments. Our Lord prays, keep them from evil, the guilt of sin. Keep them from evil, from the tribulations and adversities of this world that can cause us to stumble and fall, that can cause us to look away from God, to cause us to embrace things. So the situations in this life, protect them from those situations. The situations are going to come, but nonetheless, protect them from the consequences that may be evil when they're confronted with these situations. Strengthen them, is what our Lord's saying there. And then there's a third thing, and this is why I said it's both and. Those things would be protect them from evil, protect them from the evil one. That's Satan, the devil. Protect him from them from the evil one. Satanic temptations and snares. You know, it's part and parcel of our Catholic lives to understand that this goes on. That Satan and his minions are ever relentlessly trying to set traps for you. This is why the temptations and snares of Satan. At the end of every Mass, we hear the St. Michael's Prayer. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. You know, it's a given for us. We just don't say those words to say them. Jesus is praying them for us. St. Michael, the archangel, is there. Our guardian angels are there to defend us against the wickedness and snares of the devil. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us all kind of things, even in that respect. He's given his angels charge over us to keep it in all our ways. He's provided us, Michael the Archangel, to be the prince of the bodiless host. These are things that we do, that we have, that keep us from the evil one. Our Lord prays constantly to the Father that we be kept free from the evil one. I know that after my departure, this is St. Paul going on after he says, I commend you to God now that he has built you up and give you an inheritance. I know that after my departure, ravening wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Notice St. Paul does not say that ravening wolves might show up. He says, I know. And remember, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I know that my departure, ravening wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is that whole merciless, ferocious attack of the demonic. And we got to worry about the demon. We got to also worry about demonic influences in people, first and foremost. And this should really, we should really be on guard of this in the church. Why is all this stuff going on? It's demonic. Demons are directly and indirectly, I would actually submit to you, mostly indirectly in this stuff. Other people fall for demonic temptations and snares, and all of a sudden we're hearing wrong things emanating from within the church. This is what our Lord and St. Paul pray that we be kept from. Well, it doesn't look like we're being kept from them. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's very obvious we're being kept from. Why? Because there are still places that exist where you hear the truth of God. You hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't listen to fashionable things. We don't hear imbalanced presentations of who God is and what he does and what he expects of you. That shows that the Holy Spirit is answering the Savior's prayers at the right hand of the Father. That places like this still exist where you hear the truth. This should give us great confidence, because at the end of the day, this is what we're talking about. This is what St. Paul, because I mean, you could get really kind of leery if you're listening to St. Paul. Okay, I'm leaving now, but I commend you to God because ravening wolves are coming. That doesn't really do good for your confidence as a believer, would it? If he just left it at that, he's commending us to God's grace. And what do I always say about God's graces? We have to cooperate with those graces. So St. Paul and our Lord Jesus Christ, as they pray for us, are building us up in confidence of God's grace. We should take great solace. This is why I use this quite frequently in the confessional, because that prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ prays for us, when you understand these things, what a sense of comfort that is. What a sense of comfort that is. That even the influence of the demonic in a direct manner are going to be held at bay if we just cooperate with the graces. This is the glories of being a Catholic. We have the fullness of the faith. We have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have all the sacraments. We have all the sacramentals. We have as strong a shield as you can possibly have in this world against evil. Evils of this world and supernatural evils. We need to be very confident. The confidence should be overwhelming. We should not worry about the ravening wolves. Let them say what they will. That's why, you know, I'm always emphasizing it. The older I get and the more I'm dealing with this stuff, we've got to start paying less and less attention to all the bad stuff that's going on in the world and in the church. Do not pay attention to it. Glory in the fact that you have the truth. Glory in that. It's tremendous. Literally, not a week that goes by, I don't get some kind of complaint from somebody that went on a trip last week and, you wouldn't believe what I had to say. It was so horrible. And it was like, why did you sit in there and think of how horrible what you were experiencing was and not sit in and get on your knees, even if there probably weren't kneelers in the place, to get on your knees and thank God Almighty that this is not what you have to deal with all the time. You actually have an option, because there are literally millions of people in the world who have no option. They have no option. They just got to go to trashy masses and worship and liturgies every single time. They can love Jesus tremendously. They do love Jesus tremendously, but they're exposed to that because there is no other option for them. There are options out there, but there are few and far between. We just got to appreciate them when they're there, because it's a proof that Jesus Christ is being heard in his prayers. Who would think any different? Like the Father couldn't answer the Son. But he hears our prayers also for protection. Like the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some version of the Lord's Prayer say the evil one. Why? Because it's a both and proposition. We're protected from these things. We should take great confidence in the graces of God. And not dwell too much on all the nonsense that go. Need to know about the nonsense, not pay too much attention to it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.